If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Gene and Giorgetti's, which has sort of been a much talked about restaurant in Chicago with the possibility of minimum wages going up for sub-minimum waged employees, the tipped employees previously. Michelle, you're on WGN. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you so much for having me, especially to talk about something so important.
Yeah, well, boy, everybody's talking about that these days, it seems. What's your perspective on this? I think I know, but let's just let you say something first. What's your overriding thought this week as the city council grapples with this?
Fear and a little bit of trepidation as an independent restaurant. You know, this is potentially detrimental and legacy ending for us. This is something that, you know, we're barely recovered from COVID. We are trying our best in a city that doesn't always make it easy for restaurants and business people and business owners in general. And this, you know, our margins are thin, right? And where does this come from? This additional cost, how do we cover it? And so I don't feel good about it.
I would imagine, I don't know anything about the restaurant business, Michelle, you might imagine, I think all of us look at a restaurant and think, boy, look at all the money coming in there, but you've got costs. But I would also imagine that if ever a restaurant maybe had some room for profit built in, it would be a prime steakhouse like yours, no?
No, not necessarily, because with prime steaks comes prime costs, right? So a lot of what we purchase is always at a premium, because if prime, for example, is 1% of all the beef sold in the country, and of that 1%, 99% of that go to restaurants, you're paying a premium because of supply and demand, right? So there are a lot of things that, and for example, with us in particular, our building is 149 years old. We live in a constant state of restoration because it's a wood frame building, you know, basically constructed from scrap wood from the Chicago fire. And so there are there's a lot of costs that go with that. So there really isn't necessarily, you know, if people think like room for profit, there's a lot of costs and a lot of things that come into running a restaurant that those razor thin margins that everybody says, that phrase is real. It is a reality. That's why so many restaurants operate in quantity now. That's why there are so many restaurant groups that have so many.
Because with those numbers, they're able to defray some costs with the consolidation.
Correct. It's
been reported that some of the waiters and waitresses, some of the staff there, make six figures, maybe even well into six figures, waiting on tables. Is that true?
It is, actually. It is. Our servers, you know, keep in mind, we have a classic kind of service that we provide. Our servers believe very, you know, strongly and passionately in what they do. Some of them have been with us 44 years, and they have worked very hard over time to cultivate relationships with regulars, know our menu, know how to sell with elegance, right, and still create an experience that our diner, our customer can enjoy. And yes, there are servers in our restaurant that do make those kinds of numbers, yes.
Yeah. And are they getting paid the sub-minimum wage then, $9 an hour or so?
We are just above what the minimum is, yes.
Okay. And then, so over the next 5 years, you're going to have to increase your payroll cost for all those tipped employees by what will ultimately be 40%, right?
Correct.
And what? So if your human cost goes up 40%, then what are you going to do on the menu? How will that be reflected in the prices?
Well, I can't tell you definitively yet what decision we're going to make, but some of the things that we are discussing and that restaurateurs, I believe, are discussing in general right now are things like, are there service charges that get applied? How do you diffuse this through the food costs, for example? You know, you may be going into a restaurant and ordering a cheeseburger, which today may cost you, I don't know, $22, and then it may cost you $35. So it's, you know, I think a lot of people aren't connecting that, yes, this is for hourly front of house employees and restaurant owners. Yes, all of us are having opinions about it. But the average person, who is often also a diner, a customer in a restaurant, is going to be profoundly impacted by this move, and not in a positive way, in my opinion.
I guess the math that they talk about is, okay, so the burger went from 28 to 35, but you don't have to tip now because they're getting a better wage. What do you make about that conversation or argument?
Well, I think it's not just the burger that you have to take into account. Is the restaurant applying a service charge? Is there another ancillary charge the restaurant's, you know, including now as part of their operating strategy in order to make ends meet? And so it's not just, oh, we don't have to tip, or, oh, tipping is elective. It impacts everything. Also, the amount of money going into the server's pocket. Because while it sounds like an increase hourly, it is a decrease overall because people are going to be less likely to tip. They're not going to feel that need to reward because all of these other costs are there. It's going to become financially challenging for diners to come to go out and really be generous towards the server because of everything a restaurant might be asking.
I don't know if you're an outlier, but there's plenty of nice and expensive restaurants in Chicago that are probably in the same boat as you. It just seems to me like that must be terribly frustrating for a business hanging on, doing the best they can, and then the city says, guess what? Your personnel costs over the next 5 years have to go up 40%. I guess you saw that coming. Sam Toya says this is the best deal we could get.
Sam and the Restaurant Association did an extraordinary job. The fact that they entered into the conversation when they did, which wasn't necessarily when they would have liked, they probably would have liked to have done that sooner, they did a great job and they've given us 5 years, which is good. 5 years is a long time. And we've known, and you know, what we've learned in our 82 years, right? We've seen war. We've seen Chicago go through the Democratic Convention, Vietnam, World War I. That we've seen all of these things. What we know is anything can happen in 5 years. We hope what we can do as a restaurant community is continue to educate the city on the decision that they've made and you know, plan accordingly. But it's not a good feeling for us. And I don't know, you know, I might be an outlier, but at 82 years old and third generation, like, I have these conversations with my parents frequently right now where they look at me and they're like, this is the hardest time we've ever run this restaurant. This is the most difficult amidst all the other challenges, recessions, all of these things. Right now, this is the most challenge we've faced as a family.
By the way, for an 82-year-old, you sound great.
Well, thank you. I try to keep moving.
One last question then.
Sure.
But, you know, you said you've got 5 years, but it's, if I'm not mistaken, the way it's constructed, your human cost goes up 20% next year, right?
I believe so. What I really need to do is we need to sit down with our managers and our team and our as a family and kind of really understand exactly what's happening over the course of the 5 years, how we can react to it, what we can do that gives us the best chance of surviving this change. And that's exactly what the conversation comes down to, is surviving. It's not about flourishing. It's not about meeting the change. It's about surviving it, because this is detrimental. It's just not a good thing.
Well, do you anticipate putting something on the menu like this food item costs $50 due to the city imposed blah blah blah, the new, you know, the price, the $50 includes $5 a surcharge imposed by the city? I mean, are you anticipating any language or any demonstration of the cost that way?
I haven't gotten that far yet, but it's certainly something a lot of people, I think, are considering, because I think education is key right now, letting people understand where these costs are coming from. Like, they're not going into the owner's pockets. They're not going into the employee's pockets, who this all of this was created to protect. And it's not ultimately going there. Like, nothing is more important to us than our team. They are the heart and soul of everything we do. So, you know, I think it's something worth considering for sure. We really have to wrap our heads around it. It's all been happening so fast. And we would have loved a little more time to have, you know, spirited discussion and see if there was maybe more of a meeting in the middle, but we weren't necessarily given that chance. So here we are.
It's funny, too, because people react differently to that kind of language, too. Some people say, just bury the cost. I know it's a nice restaurant. I don't want to read about or think about that. And other people think you should be transparent. You didn't ask for my opinion. And by the way, I have no advice for you, but I see the challenge. But I see how challenging that decision can be.
Yeah, it's definitely challenging. And no one really has advice at this point. I wish people had. I wish I could go to someone for advice. But all of us are kind of like figuring it out as we go right now, trying to process, you know, diligently and mindfully as we can, and then sort of make the best decision that protects the staff, protects the family, protects the legacy. It's a lot.
Michelle DePretti is Gene and Giorgetti, the owner there. How's your tables tonight? Can a guy get in still, or are you booked?
Well, for you, a guy can definitely. Actually, for your listeners, we're going to make any exception. We'd have to. The doors are always open. Come on in.
Gene and Giorgetti's, the world-famous Chicago steakhouse. Okay, good luck to you. It's nice to talk
Thank
to you, Michelle.
You. Thank you so much.
Tim, you go first. You're on the air. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I'm former president back in the 80s of the Illinois Restaurant Association. I was in this industry for 50 years right out of college.
Wow.
And I don't think, at least I haven't heard anything about this. The incredibly unfair advantage that the city of Chicago has placed on restaurant industry within Chicago. If I go across the street into Evanston, Skokie, Morton Grove, I'm not real familiar with the South Side, but it exists all over the city lines. You don't have this same mandate. It's only within the city of Chicago. So it's created an incredibly unfair advantage. The same thing when the no smoking laws started rolling out, suburbs and cities, they may have started town by town, but the next town over didn't have it. So it took quite a while for it to equalize and before the state of Illinois made it statewide. That's what we really need. If they're going to do anything like this, we need the state of Illinois to get on board and equalize it across the board, because it's not fair to be able to cross
a city boundary and
escape this thing. It's hideous.
Really interesting point. Tim, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your expertise.
Thank you.
Diane, it's your turn. You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Two thoughts as a consumer. The first is that cost of goods sold is none of my business, right? That's the business owner's business, not mine. The second thought is if we're now paying them an hourly wage, then as consumers, perhaps we need to consider tipping them based on an hourly wage. So if we have a half an hour meal at a diner and we're in and out, we pay for a half of an hour in their tip. If we still go for a 3 hour sit down dinner, we pay for a 3 hours of their time tip. Then if they multiply that by the tables they have, they might actually make a decent wage.
Kind of lost me there. So if I'm there.
Okay. So if I'm sitting down at a diner and my meal is, you know, regardless of cost, I'm sitting down at a diner and I take a half an hour at their table and yep. I go, you know what, a half an hour of time added to their $16, another $5 brings them up to $21 an hour.
If they have 10 tables, that's $50.
That means they're making $66 an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if they're full, they're making more money. If they're not as full, they're not making as much. But if I'm spending 3 hours with them and I figure that $5 added per half hour is my time, then if I spend 3 hours, I'm tipping them $30 for their time plus the $16 per hour they're making. So they're making $46 per hour every hour that I'm at their table multiplied by the four or five tables that they might have to wait on.
Are you an accountant or math major?
No, my brain just works that way.
It's an interesting point, Diane. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Bye.
I think a lot of us are pretty impressed if we can go, okay, 10% of $36 is $3.60, and then half of that is $1.80. So 15% is fork is $5.40. I think maybe Tom will give me one more try here. Hey, Tom, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Yeah, John, I think maybe these waiters and waitresses that are making good tips, put them on salary so they can keep their tips.
Wait a minute, they are going to, right. Pay them a salary, not an hourly wage. Say, okay, if you're Gene and Giorgetti and you used to make $100,000 a year, we're going to give you $100,000 a year as your salary. Now you don't lose anything. But but think about that. This is an employee who was making $9 an hour, and now you want me to pay them $100,000 a year. And then how do I make up the difference here? I got to work on this. I'm not sure that the restaurant can afford that.
Well, I mean, if you got a good employee and they're there 7 days, 6 days a week, 18, 14, 16 hours a day, kind of work to keep them. That's the way you're keeping them. But people have to remember, I think I read something also that they have to give sick days, paid sick days to employees too now.
I appreciate the call, Tom. Yeah, I got to go, but it just seems to me like, okay, but then that means then that Gene and Giorgetti, we visited with the owner a second ago, has to raise the prices enough to cover the salary of that person. And now we are escalating the human cost. Boy, I'm glad that's not my problem. It sounds complicated, doesn't it?